bem para não bem para
سليمان الرحيلي حفظه الله تعالى وروى أبو داود رحمه الله قال كتب رجل إلى عمر بن عبد العزيز يسأله عن القدر فكتب أما بعد أوصيك بتقوى الله والاقتصاد في أمره واتباع سنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم وترك ما أحدث المحدثون بعدما جرت به سنته وكفوا مؤنته فعليك باللزوم السنة فإنها لك بإذن الله عصمة ثم اعلم أنه لم يبتدع الناس بدعة إلا قد مضى قبلها ما هو دليل عليها أو عبرة فيها فإن السنة إنما سناها من قد علم ما في خلافها من الخطأ والزلل والحمق والتعمق فارض لنفسك ما رضي به القوم لأنفسهم فإنهم على علم وقفوا وببصر نافذ كفوا ولهم على كشف الأمور كانوا أقوى وبفضل ما كانوا فيه أولى فإن كان الهدى ما أنتم عليه لقد سبقتموهم إليه ولئن قلتم إنما أحدث بعدهم ما أحدثه إلا من اتبع غير سبيلهم ورغب بنفسه عنهم فإنهم هم السابقون فقد تكلموا فيه بما يكفي ووصفوا منه ما يشفي فما دونهم من مقصر وما فوقهم من محصر وقد قصر قوم دونهم فجفوا وطمح عنهم أقوام فغلوا وإنهم بين ذلك لعلى هدى مستقيم. قال سماحة الشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله وطريق النجاة من صنوف الفتن هو التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كما روي ذلك عن علي رضي الله عنه مرفوعا تكون فتن قيل ما المخرج يا رسول الله قال كتاب الله فيه نبأ ما قبلكم وخبر ما بعدكم وفصل ما بينكم وقال أيضا وكل أنواع الفتن لا سبيل إلى تخلص منها والنجاة من شرها إلا بتفقه في كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعرفة منهج السلف الأمة من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم ومن سلك سبيلهم من أئمة الإسلام ودعاة الهدى.
Under the first point the Sheikh mentioned from the Abdad, from the means of gaining success in the times of fitan, from the means of gaining escape by Allah's will during the times of fitna and tribulation. The first point the Sheikh mentioned, Hafizahullah, was لزوم السنة والحذر من الأمور الحادثة, sticking to the sunnah والحذر من الأمور الحادثة, and being cautious, avoiding newly invented matters. This is the first point. He cited the first hadith of Irbad ibn Sariyako, and then he cited an asr, the asr of Muazi ibn Jabal Ko. The third point he sought to prove that point with, that one of the means and the major means of gaining Allah's protection from fitan is that the individual should stick to the sunnah and avoid newly invented matters. Stick to the sunnah and avoid newly invented thoughts and approach to matters. Stick to the sunnah, avoid the newly invented matters. The third asar that he cited was that of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. The fitna in that asar was the fitna of al-qawlu bil-qadar, the position regarding the rejection of al-qadar. I think we gave an explanation regarding that in the last class. What does it mean when we say people spoke about qadar? We gave an explanation, the two groups of the people who spoke about al-qadar, and that amongst the scholars of sunnah, the scholars of Islam, these people are referred to as al-qadariyya. We spoke about the first group of the qadariyya and the second group amongst the qadariyya. We mentioned that amongst the first group of the qadariyya, the ulama declare them that they are non-Muslims, kuffar, because they ascribe ignorance to Allah. And they reject things that are clearly established in the Quran from Allah subhanahu. Allah affirms in the Quran that He has written down aqdar. They say no, He did not write down aqdar. Allah affirms in the Quran that He knows all things before they happen. They say no, Allah doesn't know until they happen. The scholars refer to them as non-Muslims, kuffar, from the times of the companions. That was the fitna regarding which one of the people asked for the advice of who? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, as we also read in the last class, he gave him four advices. The first thing he told him is that Usika bi taqwallah, I encourage you strongly to stick to consciously fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِكْتِصَادِ فِي أَمْرِهِ, and staying within the limits of the commands of Allah. Don't go beyond, don't come less. Stay within the limits that Allah has ordered. وَاتِّبَاءِ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى السَّلَامِ, and then sticking to the sunnah. The first advice is what? Stick to taqwa. The second advice is what? Stay within the limits of Allah's injunction. The third advice is what? Stick to the sunnah. The fourth advice is what? تَرْكُ مَا أَحَدَثَ الْمُحْدِثُونَ, abandoning what those who innovate have innovated. تَرْكُ مَا أَحَدَثَ الْمُحْدِثُونَ, avoiding, abandoning what those who have brought innovations. Those innovations they have brought, set them aside. That was the advice that he gave him. Because those innovations, they are coming بعد ما جرت به سنته, after the sunnah regarding those matters had been established. وَكُفُّ مُؤْنَتَهُ, and they have been saved from having to be the one who will look for worship. It is hardship that people are asked by Allah, go and look for the way to worship me. Is it not hardship? Everybody will start thinking, how will I worship Allah? But in place of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established worship for us. He asked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to explain what he has established and establish the rest of the worship for us. So we have been protected from the burdens of having to search for how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why is it that someone wants to be the one who will look for the burdens of how do I worship Allah? We've been protected from that burden. We've been saved that hardship of being the ones that will search for acts of worship. This is the meaning of kufu mu'natahu. Kufu, they have been saved from the hardship of being the ones who will look for what is a ibadah. Fa'alayka biluzumi sunnah. He repeated it again. So stick to the sunnah. فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ إِسْمَى, because the sunnah will for you by Allah's will be the means of protection. This expression should be written in gold as they say. فَعَلَيْكَ بِلُزُومِ السُنَّةِ فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ إِسْمَى فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عِسْمَ فَعَلَيْكَ بِلُزُومِ السُنَّةِ فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عِسْمَ. It's a very, very nice expression from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He says, فَعَلَيْكَ بِلُزُومِ السُنَّةِ, meaning that regarding the issue of qadar that has started as a fitna, you stick to the sunnah. فإنها لك بإذن الله عصمة. Because for you, by Allah's will, sticking to the Sunnah will be the means of protection for you. And it will be the means of protection for everyone who sticks to it. So this is another area for our point of reference. We should stick to the Sunnah and avoid newly invented matters. Then he gave him other explanations regarding innovations. He says, "Summa alam," after I have given you those advices, you should recognize the fact that لَمْ يَبْتَعْدِ النَّاسُ بِدْعَةً إِلَّا قَدْ مَضَى قَبْلَهَا مَا هُوَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَيْهَا مَبْتَدَعَ النَّاسُ مَا لَمْ يَبْتَعْدِ النَّاسُ بِدْعَةً. The people have not started any innovation. إِلَّا قَدْ مَضَى قَبْلَهَا مَا هُوَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَيْهَا. Except that there is something that has come before it. Except that there is a sunnah that is already established before that innovation. مَا هُوَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَيْهَا. Which will prove that this new one is an innovation. If some people start an innovation now, there is a sunnah that will prove that this new one they have started is what? It's an innovation. This usually comes in two ways. Either there's a clear-cut enough text that this thing is an innovation. Whoever does this kind of a thing has innovated into the deen. There will be a text like that. Or that it will fall under the general text, man ahdasa fi amrina ma laysa minhu fa huwa radd. Or man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa radd. This is dalil in the sunnah that that new one is an innovation. So anytime there's an innovation, there will be a text that will prove that this thing is an innovation. Says لَمْ يَبْتَدِعْ النَّاسُ بِدْعَةً إِلَّا قَدْ مَضَى قَبْلَهَا مَا هُوَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَيْهَا مَا هُوَ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهَا بِدْعَةٌ أَوْ عِبْرَةٌ فِيهَا. Or inside that innovation itself, there will be lessons for the people who can reason out the lessons to show that this is an innovation. There will be lessons in that innovation to show that this is an innovation. There is either a text from outside before it to prove that it's an innovation, or that inside that innovation itself, there will be lessons that will show that what? This is an innovation. Take the innovation of Maulud Nabi. There is evidence inside it itself that this is an innovation. What is the evidence inside it? It was started only 500 years after the Prophet Muhammad. So if it is Sunnah, it will not start 500 years after the Prophet. It will not start 500 years after the Prophet, if it is Sunnah. Because the meaning of Sunnah is that something the Prophet established. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So if making the birthday celebration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to be Sunnah, it will not come 500 years later. Then the proof from outside is that man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa radd. Whoever does a deed that is not upon an order that we have given, that action will be returned to him. So the next question we start asking, where is the proof in the Sunnah that we should perform birthday celebrations? You will not find any proof. No proof. No proof exists. May Allah protect us. So the people have not started an innovation, except that if you go into the Sunnah, you will find a proof. There is a group of people in Nigeria, when they do a salatu, in their ruku and in their sujood, they recite Suratul Ikhlas. Is there evidence in the Sunnah against that or not? Clear-cut evidence, because we've been prohibited from reciting the Quran in our ruku and in our sujood. That is evidence from outside it, from the Sunnah. Then evidence from inside it is that Laysa alayhi amru. If you look at it, you see the companions were not on it. A group of Muslims will say every Sunday we'll be wearing white to a place of worship. Wearing white. Yes, there is a sunnah to wear white. But did he specify the day to wear white? Is there a specification that on this day wear white, on Sundays wear white? Because it's become a religious practice by which people think that they are coming nearer to Allah. That is the meaning of ibadah. It means it must have a dalil. If it does not have a dalil, then it is what? It's an innovation. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said to this man, لم يبتدع الناس بدعة إلا قدما قبلها ما هو دليل عليها. The people have not started an innovation, except that the Sunnah had already established before that innovation started that that innovation is an innovation. أو عبرة فيها, or that when it is looked at, you find lessons from inside that innovation that will show that this thing is what? It's an innovation. He said, فَإِنَّ السُنَّةَ, because this sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, innama sannaha man qad alima ma fi khilafiha, innama sannaha man qad alima ma fi khilafiha. The sunnah has been established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has known what will be in the opposite of the sunnah. Allah knows what will be in the opposite of the sunnah. Allah, who established the sunnah, He knows what will be in the opposite of the sunnah. So the first point is that the bid'ah is the opposite of the sunnah. Allah, who established the sunnah, He already knows the bid'ah. So He has placed inside the sunnah the things that will prove that this one is a bid'ah when those people of bid'ah start their bid'ah. Do we understand? Allah established the sunnah. He has placed in the sunnah things that will show that the opposite of sunnah is the opposite of sunnah and not sunnah. Things that will prove that bid'ah is bid'ah. Allah has placed it inside the sunnah. Allah has placed inside the sunnah things that will prove that bid'ah is what? Bid'ah. Like this hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. It's almost half of the proofs against innovation. Once someone starts something, you start saying, Man ahman amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa radd. Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa radd. Two statements from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's inbuilt in the sunnah. The proofs for bid'ah, the proofs against bid'ah is where, is what? Inbuilt inside the sunnah. He said, Rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ السُنَّةَ إِنَّمَا سَنَّهَا مَنْ قَدْ عَلِمَ مَا فِي خِلَافِهَا مِنَ الْخَطَى. Allah knows the errors that will be inside those bid'ah. وَالزَّلَلْ, He knows the mistakes that will be inside those bid'ah. وَالْحُمْقِ, He knows the foolishness that will be inside those bid'ah. Don't be surprised. Inside bid'ah, there is usually foolishness. Inside bid'ah, there is usually foolishness inside it. If you observe those who wear white clothes every Sunday amongst the Muslims, they usually look like the sele. That is the foolishness inside. How can the Muslim look like sele? Except the Muslim follows something of foolishness, they usually look like sele. If you see a gathering of them in front, you say, ah, I want sele, man. Until you start seeing some beard and some calf, ah, I think they are Muslim too. So inside bid'ah, there is usually what? Some sort of foolishness. Look at the bid'ah of the Sufiya. How is it on earth reasonable that one human being will prostrate with his forehead on the ground for a sheikh? How reasonable is that? It's foolishness. A human being like you, you make sujood for him? It's foolishness. How on earth will a human being marry a wife and take his wife to a shehu first? It didn't start today. It started over 600 years ago. Al-Imam Ibn Hazm mentioned it in Al-Fasl. That is from the ways of the Sufiya. Ibn Hazm mentioned it 600 years ago. That the Sufiya, when one of them marries, he takes his wife to the shehu, and the shehu does evil with her before the man takes his wife again. Is there any hamaka worse than this one? It's foolishness. So inside every innovation, when you look at it, Allah has made it such that once they start that innovation, part of the parcels they will place inside that innovation is what? Foolishness. Al-Hamaq. May Allah protect us. فَإِنَّ السُنَّةَ إِنَّمَا سَنَّهَا مَنْ قَدْ عَلِمَ مَا فِي خِلَافِهَا مِنَ الْخَطَرِ. Allah knows the errors inside bid'ah. Allah knows the mistakes inside bid'ah. Allah knows the foolishness inside bid'ah. What ta'ammuk, an extremism. A ta'ammuk, extremism. These are usually the characteristics of bid'ah. They are usually errors, mistakes, foolishness, and what? Going beyond bounds. Go beyond bounds. When they say recite one surah to Ikhlas, he will recite how many? 100. It's gone beyond bounds. It's gone beyond bounds. When they say stick to the salatu that was taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will go and start another one. Which one is easier? The as-salatu al-ibrahimiyya that the Prophet taught us alayhi salatu wasalam, or the one that was written by the author of al-Burda? Which one is easier? Or dalail al-khairat? We know dalail al-khairat. Kadalil lekeoni. We read it like anything. We read it. Dalailu. There was a time we used to read it after every fajr. May Allah protect all of us. We pass through all those things. The difficulty in reading dalailu, that's how they call it. So once I say it, we know what we are saying. The difficulty in reading dalailu is so difficult that before you finish one dalailu, how many salatul ibrahimiyya would you have recited? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. How many of these will you say before the reader of dalailul khairat, dalailu as we call it? How many will hear it? So there is mujawazatul hajj. Ikojala manwa nubidia. Onibidia ukojala. You koja depends of the category. You will go beyond where the Sharia says stop here. You will go beyond it. So you will always see these things inside innovation. Errors, mistakes, foolishness, and what? Going beyond bounds. Oh my kojala. If this you want to come up in Ugwanye, you won't feel any feel kojala. So what fana won't find if I kojala. See, there is nothing any person on innovation does thinking that it is worship, except that he goes beyond that. Yes, we have to make askar. Go. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam encouraged us to employ our hands. Okay. How then does it become from the sunnah that you want to make la ilaha illallah of 40 million? And that la ilaha illallah of 40 million is the reason why you not come for salatul asr. So you'll always see going beyond bounds in innovations. May Allah protect us. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, فَرْضَ لِنَفْسِكَ مَا رَضِيَ بِهِ الْقَوْمَ لِأَنْفُسِهِمْ فَرْضَ لِنَفْسِكَ مَا رَضِيَ بِهِ الْقَوْمُ لِأَنْفُسِهِمْ So let your mind suffice. Let your mind be sufficient. Find pleasure for yourself. Find pleasure for yourself. Let your mind find goodness, sufficiency, pleasure and love in what the companions and their students have found pleasure in. In Tawansa, what Abu Bakr and Siddiq found pleasure in, you too find pleasure in it. What he found sufficiency in, you too, you should find sufficiency in it. What Uthman ibn Affan, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and all these giants of ibadah. Uthman ibn Affan was a giant of ibadah. Radiallahu anhu. He was so worshipful, he could hardly hurt a mosquito. Uthman, he would hardly hurt a mosquito. He can't hurt anybody. Uthman ibn Affan, to the extent that he preferred that he was killed than that some people are killed to protect him. Radiallahu anhu. Uthman, we knew how much he spent from his wealth to establish the religion together with the Prophet Muhammad. So these people, what was sufficient for them as religion? You too, they go to one. And Allah says, Radiallahu anhum. ورضوا السابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين if anybody who is مهاجرون الأنصار again if you are مهاجر and أنصار if you are from amongst the مهاجرون and أنصار you can't be سابق you can't be سابق السابقون الأولون those who came first So if you are muhajir, you make hijrah, you are muhajir, logatan, and perhaps shar'an, or you are nasiruddin, logatan, and perhaps shar'an, you moved, migrated by way to support the religion of Allah. You can't be al-awwalun. You can't be as-sabiqun al-awwal. And when those who came first, they are no other than Uthman, Abu Bakr, and Siddiq, and those like them, like Suhaib al-Rumi, Like Bilal ibn Rabah. Ewa, these are Sadiqun al-Awwalun. Suhaib al-Rumi, Bilal ibn Rabah. Sadiqun al-Awwalun. Those that Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq, the Prophet was warning him, make sure you don't offend Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib al-Rumi, Sad, not Shu'aib. Suhaib al-Rumi. And Bilal. The Prophet was telling Abu Bakr, hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Make sure you don't offend these people because when you offend them, Allah is offended. Anabi Lusabel. So what is the worship? He just in tutu woni wafe muwa. In tutu anwele, yekutu wana ni jasin. What was sufficient for these people should be sufficient for you too. Don't bring new thing into this religion. It should be sufficient for you. What we found pleasure and love with. You too find pleasure and love with it. So that you'll be successful like they were successful. Radiallahu anhu. فَرْضَ لِنَفْسِكَ مَا رَضِيَ بِهِ الْقَوْمُ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ So find sufficiency. Find pleasure inside your heart. With the same thing that those people got pleasure in. فَإِنَّهُمْ عَلَى عِلْمٍ وَقَفُوا Because these companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the stands that they took were upon very sound knowledge. Wabi basarin nafizin kafu. And the things that they did not do, it is with as a result of basarin nafizin, deep insight, they did not do it. Those things the companions did, they did them based on sound knowledge. Those things they avoided. It was because of deep insight. Ironu to jindo ni won fi se o. Gbogbo kan ta won sa be se radiyallahu anhu. Pelu ima to yaranti ni won fi se. Gbogbo kan ti awon sa be o se. Nitori ironu to jindo ni won fi sako nbe. So it means that if you want to be knowledgeable too, you will not exceed where they were. You will stand upon what they stood upon. And you will avoid what they avoided. Radiallahu anhum. Because after that, Allah said, Radiallahu anhum. Wa radu anhum. Allah is pleased with them, they are also pleased with Allah. So if you want to exceed that bound, ibinu alon luwa. There is nothing left after the pleasure of Allah than His anger. May Allah protect us. Once you miss the way of these people, it is trouble. This is what Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is telling this man. فَرْضَ لِنَفْسِكَ مَا رَضِيَ بِهِ الْقَوْمُ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَلَى عِلْمٍ وَقَفُوا وَبِبَصَرٍ نَافِذٍ كَفُوا يعني امتنعوا مِمَّا امتنعوا مِنْهَا مِنْ بَصَرٍ نَافِذٍ The things that they avoided them as a result of what? Deep insight. What you don't see. So when they did not make Maulid Nabi, it was as a result of what? Deep insight. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, is there a person who will be Zakirun Lillah like him? Regularly conscious of Allah. Abu Bakr was Sote Subah Manu. Sote Subah Manu. It's sufficient. And some of our women wearing high heel shoe. Aisha wore high heel shoe. This is the way we should live our life. A woman wants to wear high heel shoe. Ask yourself, would Aisha radiallahu anha wear high heel shoe? A woman will wear jilbab and wear something like a design on it. Ask yourself, would Aisha dress like that radiallahu anha? if you place your life upon this pattern, you will succeed in this dunya and with Allah, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah. So you do what they do, you avoid what they avoid. It's a very, very good question to protect your deen. Somebody say, ah, Afa, come and do this. Come. People like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, they used to do like that. This kind of thing you say I should do. Abu Bakr, Omar, Uthman, Ali, Seba, is that how they used to do? Will they do that? If the answer is no, then don't do it. If the answer is yes, be happy, struggle to do it. May Allah protect all of us. This is the meaning of being upon the Sunnah. This is the meaning of being a Salafi. وَلَهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَشْفِ الْأُمُورِ كَانُوا أَقْوَىٰ لَهُمْ عَلَىٰ كَشْفِ الْأُمُورِ كَانُوا أَقْوَىٰ The companions, رضي الله عنه, to discover umuri deen, عَلَىٰ كَشْفِ umuri deen, كَانُوا أَقْوَىٰ They are stronger to determine the matters of the religion. In terms of determining key lesson, key lesson, what is from the deen, what is not from the deen. The companions were stronger than anybody to be able to determine that. Radiyallahu anhu. Wa bifadli ma kanu fihi awla. And the deen that they were upon, the virtues are better with them. They have the virtue of being the ones who were in front of it. There is nothing. How did you know the Quran if not from them? They brought the Quran to us. They told us about the Prophet Muhammad. You didn't see him. You didn't see the Prophet Muhammad. So you should not do other than what they have done. In Tiwan Kwe lesson, yeah, na lesson. In Tiwan Kwe lesson, yeah, na lesson. In Tiwan Kwe lesson, yeah, na lesson. Radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was a tabi'i, he was not a sahabi. But he's telling us about the sahabas, radiallahu anhu. Look at his ta'zim of the conditions of the sahaba. It is from the aspects of sunnah. Making ta'zim, making prominence of the issues regarding the companions. He was a tabi'i. How about us who came 1,400 years later? Taban soro, tabi'a man soro, wanpenuenu tembele. May Allah protect all of us. May Allah protect all of us. It's like saying that from the matters that we will understand easily. When a deputy wants to speak about his boss, you see him speaking about him with high virtue. How about the man on the street? If he wants to speak about, say, that president, and he's saying anyhow, you know, when that deputy sees him, what will he think of it? You, who are you talking about? So if Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is talking about the companions like that, how should the companions, and following the companions, avoiding what they avoided, how should it be in our own hearts? He said, رضي الله عنه ورحمه الله فإن كان الهدى ما أنتم عليه لقد سبقتموهم إليه. If what you people have innovated today, what was it that he was talking about? The innovation of what? Al-Qadr. If what you are saying today, if that is the guidance, if that is the correct guidance, لقد سبقتموهم إليه. What it means is that you know that guidance more than them. You attain the guidance before them. You attain the guidance before the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. How is that done? So that's why ulama say there is hasful jawab. There is adatu shart here. Because al jawab ma'lum. We know the result of claiming that, oh, an individual will claim that he is in front of guidance. The guidance he recognized, I want Sahabi Oti Imani, the companions didn't know it, but he knows it. Zahirul Butlan. The baselessness of the response is clear to anybody. If you say, oh, this thing we are doing is part of religion, what you are saying that you get that religion before the prophet's companion. Is that what you are saying? It's clear that it is not. Likewise, wala in kultum innama hadasa ba'dahum ma ahdathahu illa man ittaba'a ghayra sabilihim. If you also say that all these innovations that people have started after the companions, they have been started by some people who did not follow the companions. وَرَغِبَ بِنَفْسِهِ أَنْهُمْ. They have been started by people who don't want to have anything. Their attention, their inclination are disconnected from the companions. This is also clearly erroneous. So he did not give us the answer. He did not give us the jawab. That is, would you say that you will attain guidance that they have not attained? Or you will say that somebody can start an innovation and disconnect himself from the companions, and it will not be clear to you that that thing is battle? It will be clear to us, dear Nuni. It will be clear to us that it is misguidance. What the companions were not upon, it will be clear to us that it is misguidance. If a person says, no, this is very common with modern day Islamic studies people in our universities as we know them. If someone is in Canada, he is not being with us here, he may not understand what we are saying. But are there people who oppose the Sunnah, like the people who study Islamic studies in universities, especially in southwestern Nigeria? May Allah protect all of us. They oppose the Messenger, they oppose the Sunnah. These are people who claim that Allah is not above his arsh. These are people who claim that Allah is everywhere. These are people who deny the coming back of Isa alayhi salam, despite that it's been reported by over 25 companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. These are people who give ta'wil to Khurujul Dajjal. They explain it out. Are these people in front of religion before the companions? The companions saw Dajjal. Tamim ibn Aus met Dajjal. Tamim, he said, I met Dajjal. We spoke, himself and Dajjal spoke, Abu Ruqayya. And he came to report it to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And in that hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, haddathani Tamim ibn Aus. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, haddathani Tamim. Like we would say, haddathani Abu Huraira. The Prophet said, haddathani Tamim. Tamim narrated to me, and he started telling us what Tamim said. That happened after Salat last. The Prophet said, Tamim, come and tell those people, come and tell the people what you had told me. And after the entire narration, the Prophet said, is there anything Tamim had said about the Dajjal that I was not telling you about the Dajjal? So today, somebody studying Islamic studies in one university, southwestern Nigeria, says there's nothing like the Dajjal. Dajjal is a train. Train. Because the train in those days used to have one big bulb in front of it. Okay, how about the trains today? It means that the Dajjal has come and gone. May Allah protect us. You see, don't forget, Bid'ah usually have Mujawazatul Hajj and what? Hamako. Bid'ah usually have what? Hamako. You know what is Hamako? I didn't want to translate that one. Ask him for us. May Allah protect all of us. So if they claim that, they are claiming that before the Prophet's companion knows something that is inside the religion and what they know it, if they also claim that, oh, the people who innovated it, they were on a path different from the path of the companions, that is also batil. فَإِنَّهُمْ هُمُ السَّابِقُونَ. It is batil because the companions are the pious predecessors. فَإِنَّهُمْ يعني فَإِنَّ الصُّحَابَ هُمُ السَّابِقُونَ. Because the companions, they are the forerunners. They are the vanguards of this religion. This religion, those in front of it, are who? The companions. They make a part of the sunnah. The companions make a part of the sunnah. That's why the Prophet says, Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafa. So part of the sunnah is the way of the companions. Radiyallahu anhum. Fa innahum humus sabiqun. The companions are the vanguards. They are the forerunners of the religion. فَقَدْ تَكَلَّمُوا فِيهِ بِمَا يَكْفِي. They have spoken inside this religion what is sufficient. In terms of who I am, Tito, Matuwami, Lama, Mawaraka, تَكَلَّمُوا فِيهِ يَعْنِي فِي الدِّينِ بِمَا يَكْفِي. They have told us inside this religion what is what sufficient. وَوَصَفُوا مِنْهُ مَا يَشْفِي. And they have described the religion to us, ma yashfi, something that will heal our wounds. You are finding a solution to a problem. What they have told us is sufficient. It will heal that trouble of life. What did they say? No, they've already told us. They've already explained. They've already described the deen. فَمَا دُونَهُمْ مِنْ مَقْصَرٍ وَمَا فَوْقَهُمْ مِنْ مَحْسَرٍ. مَا دُونَهُمْ لَيْسَ دُونَهُمْ مِنْ مَقْصَرٍ وَمَا فَوْقَهُمْ مِنْ مَحْسَرٍ. There is no place for anybody below whatever the Prophet's companions were below. If they were low in a matter, there is no any other place for you to be lower. And if they were high regarding a matter, there is no place for you to be what? Higher. So when they are low, you come low. When they are high, come high. So below their own lowness, there is no low. And beyond their highness, there is no high. That's why he said, وَقَدْ كَسَرَ قَوْمٌ قَدْ كَسَرَ قَوْمٌ دُونَهُمْ فَجَفَوْا. Some people went below what the companions were upon. فَجَفَوْا. They went astray. And حَرَفُوا. They went astray. Why? They want to come below what the companions came onto. So when they come below, they want to say, oh, we can come less now, at least. You go astray. He also said, Rahimahullah, وَطَمَحَ عَنْهُمْ أَقْوَامٌ فَضَلَوْا. Likewise, some people looked up. We want to go beyond what the companions were upon. فَضَلَوْا. They went into extremism. So that's why it says, below what they came below on, below their low, there's no place. Beyond their high, there's no place. So the only place is to remain where they were, in their low and in their high. Because below their low, there's no place. Above their high, there's no place. May Allah protect all of us. This is wa innahum bayna zalika ala hudam mustaqim. Bayna zalika, between that low and between that high, ala hudam mustaqim. They were on a straight path, not too low, not too high. So don't find a low below their low. Don't find a height below, beyond their height. In between duosim, siratun mustaqim. That boundary is sirat mustaqim. They have given us the lower point and the upper limit. The lower limit and the upper limit. No lower than that lower limit. No higher than that higher limit. Within these two ranges that they have given us, that is what? Siratun Mustaqim. That is Siratun Mustaqim. The way of the companions. Radiallahu anhum. That athar occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It also occurs, and it's been authenticated by Imam al-Albani. He is trying to say under this point that sticking to the sunnah is the way out of fitna. That's why he says, فَعَلَيْكَ بِلُزُومِ السُنَّةِ فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عِصْمَةٍ فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عِصْمَةٌ فَعَلَيْكَ بِلُزُومِ السُنَّةِ فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عِصْمَةٌ. I really like it. فَعَلَيْكَ بِلُزُومِ السُنَّةِ فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عِصْمَةٌ. So that is the statement from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. commanding us to stick to the Sunnah and avoid innovation and the way of the companions. Stick to the Sunnah and the way of the companions, and then you should avoid innovation. Qala samahatu shaykh. The third thing the shaykh did, he brought a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Under this point, he brought a hadithun mawkufun or atharun mawkuf from companions. He brought another asar from tabi. He wants to say, what I am saying, it has also been said by one of the scholars in our times. So he cited Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. He says, Sheikh says, rahimahullah, wa tariqun najati min sunu fil fitan. The path of success, the path of safety from the various forms of fitan, huwa tamassuku bi kitabillahi wa sunnati rasulihi. It is by sticking to the Quran, the book of Allah, and the Sunnah of His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Kama ruwiya zalika an Ali. Kama ruwiya. Isharatun ila da'fil athar. Ruwiya an Ali has been reported from Ali. So Sheikh Bombaz is making us understand that it's possible that this athar may not be sahih. Ruwiya an Ali. So some people say, why Sheikh Bombaz? He had already told you. So this asar, the isnad is da'if, but its meaning is sahih. Ruwiya an Ali radiyallahu anhu marfu'an. It is reported from Ali as a report from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the meaning of the marfu'an that you see. That is as a report that is ascribed, rufi'a ila nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is raised up unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, takunu fitanun. There will be fitna, there will be trials and tribulations. Kila, he was asked, mal makhraju ya Rasulallah. What is the way out, O Messenger of Allah? Qala kitabullahi. Stick to the Quran. Stick to the Quran. And stick to the Sunnah. Kitabullah. Fihi naba'u ma qablakum. Because in the Quran there are the information regarding those before you. You will find inside the Quran information regarding those before you. Wa khabaru ma ba'dakum. You will also find narrations regarding things that will come after your own time. Wa faslu ma baynakum. You will also find clear-cut rulings regarding the issues that concern you, in between you. Inside the Quran, you will find information about things that have gone past. You will find narrations of things that will come tomorrow. You will also find issues regarding things amongst yourselves, whether in terms of narrations or in terms of rulings, whether in terms of reports, stories, occurrences, or in terms of what? Ahkam. You find the ahkam and the stories of things that had gone past. Tilka min amba'il ghaib. Nuhiha ilayk. Ma kunta ta'lamuha anta wa la qawmuka min qabli hadha fasbir. Inna al-aqibata lil-muttaqin. When he was telling the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is report. The Prophet did not know who Nuh was alayhi salatu wasalam. He wasn't studying history alayhi salatu wasalam. And nobody was narrating to him about Nuh. The Arabs also did not know Nabi Nuh until the Prophet was telling them about him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, ma kunta ta'alamuha anta. You yourself, Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. You did not know about Nuh. Wala qawmuka. Even the Arabs, Quraysh, they did not know about Nuh. Min qabli hadha. Before this revelation from the Quran. Fasbir. In that case, so be patient. Inna al-aqibata lil-muttaqin. Those who will succeed at the end are those who fear Allah. So this is about those who had gone past. So likewise, he told us the ahkam, the rulings that had gone past. وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا كُوْ أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْعَنْفَ بِالْعَنْفِ. We had told them in their own book. Allah also told us about the ahkam, the rulings that had gone past. So likewise, he told us about things that will come in the future. You will see something like this. You will see something like this. And then he told us ahkam regarding ourselves, whether those things are occurrences or rulings. It was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Rome at the time was overrun. Says Alif Lam Mim, ghulibat ar-Rum. Rome has been overrun. They've been defeated in a battle. Fi adna al-ard, the place where they were defeated is not even far from you. Wa hum min ba'di ghalabihim sayaghlibun. And after that defeat, they are going to come victorious again. How? When? Fi bid'i sinin. In few years. It was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. When Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and the messenger were in Ghar, we saw the khabar inside the Quran. The story of Zainab bint Jahash and Zayd, we saw it in the Quran. So even the issues regarding narrations, events, occurrences, Fath Makkah, we saw it in the Quran. Sulh Udaybiyah, we saw it in the Quran. So likewise, the ahkam that are within the companions, the Quran was coming down on the spot. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Allah was hearing from the seventh heavens what that woman was telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was in the next room, I did not hear. Aisha was in the next room, she was not hearing the argument between the woman and the messenger. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. She came to report her husband to the messenger. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. Allah above the heavens was hearing the tahawara, muhawara, your conversation. Aisha said, Allah was hearing from seven heavens. I was in the next room, I did not hear. So what are we looking for of guidance? It's in the Quran. It's in the Quran. That's why he called it Hudan Linnas. This Quran is guidance for the people. Because in the time of fitna, it is confusion. So if you return to the Quran, you will find what? Guidance. May Allah keep us guided. It says, Kitabullah, the solution out of trials is the book of Allah. Fihi naba'u ma qablakum. It contains information, narrations regarding those before you. Wa khabaru ma ba'dakum. And things that will happen after you. How many things of information regarding the grave and the day of Qiyamah do we find in the Quran? The Bible does not tell them what they will find in the grave. In their graves. Ask any Christian, come, what will happen to us in the grave? Oh, what will happen on the day of Qiyamah? But in the Quran, الْحَاقَّةُ مَا الْحَاقَّةُ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحَاقَّةُ. And then he starts telling us, الْحَاقَّةُ, that truth that cannot ever be a lie. That reality will happen. And then he starts telling us, so-so thing will happen, so-so thing will happen, so-so thing will happen, so-so thing will happen. So in the Quran you find خَبَرُ مَا بَعْدَكُمْ. Information about things that will come after we have gone. وَفَصْلُ مَا بَيْنَكُمْ. And then if you have rulings regarding things amongst you, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. Allah has prohibited حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ الْمَيْتَةُ, animals that drop dead. وَالْدَّمُ, collected blood, flowing blood that is collected. وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. These are rulings regarding us. So all of these are in the Quran. This hadith occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, but the hadith is not authentic. But the meaning is correct. The meaning is authentic in other ahadith, also from Ali ibn Abi Talib. وَقَالَ أَيْدًا. Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz also said, كُلُّ أَنْوَاءِ الْفِتَنِ لَا سَبِيلَ إِلَى التَّخَلُّسِ مِنْهَا وَالنَّجَاةِ مِنْ شَرِّهَا إلا بالتفقه في كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. شيخ بن باز said كل أنواع الفتن, all the various forms of fitna, fitna between your husband and his wife, the fitna of your husband, the fitna of your wife, the fitna of your children, whether خاصة or what or عامة, لا سبيل إلا التخلص منها. There is no way to get saved from these fitan. والنجاة من شرها, and to be protected from the evils of this fitna, إلا بالتفقه في كتاب الله, except by means of paying attention and understanding the book of Allah, وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and the sunnah of his messenger, ومعرفة منهج سلف الأمة من الصحابة, and understanding the way of Salaful Ummah, the forerunners, the vanguards, the pioneers of this Ummah, mean as Sahaba, such as the Sahaba. This mean is not lit-tab'id, it is lil-bayan, that is, such as the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa man salaka sabilahum min a'immatil Islam, and those who were upon, those who follow upon the way of the companions, min a'immatil Islam, amongst the leading scholars of the Muslims, wa du'atil huda, and those who invite unto guidance. The way to come out of fitna is to stick to what? Kitabullah. And what? Sunnatu Rasulillah. And what? Manhaju Salafil Ummah. This is the way to attain success when there is a fitna. Is this point, first point, clear to us? The first point to note when there is fitna is what? Luzum of Sunnah. فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ إِسْمَةً فِيهَا لَكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ إِسْمَةً. In the Sunnah you find Isma, you find protection by Allah's will, you find protection. So this is the first point the Shaykh has raised. We are going to be a bit faster in our reading. Al-Aslu Thani, the second point regarding gaining Allah's protection from fitna. The Sheikh says, min fiqhi al-fitani, Allah yunazi al-muslim al-nusus bima yurid. Min fiqhi al-fitan, Allah yunazi al-muslim al-nusus bima yurid. The Muslim, from the aspects, from the rulings of the times of trials and tribulation, is that La Allah yunazi al-Muslim. The Muslim should not contest with the text. Don't bring your own desires in front of the text. There's a hadith, for example, that says, don't rise against constituted authority. The man wants to rise against constituted authority. He now starts looking for one hadith one day where one companion was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Messenger of Allah, why did you do like this? What is the correlation between the two? Do we understand, ikhwan? The Sheikh says, min fiqh al-fitan, Allah yunazi al-muslim al-nusus bima yurid. From the rulings of fitan is that la yunazi al-muslim, the Muslim will not confront al-nusus, the text of Quran and the Sunnah, bima yurid, with his own desire. Don't confront the text. This is the text. Don't bring your own desires in front of the text. What you should do is that bring your desires to follow the text, not to confront the text. How does the individual bring his desires to confront the text? The text says, مَا رَأَى مِنْ أَمِيرِهِ مَا يُنْكِرُ فَلْيَصْبِرْ. Whoever finds in his leader what he detests, let him be patient. This is what the text says. The man wants to rise against his amir. He wants to rise against constituted authority. So he will now look for a hadith that is his own irada. His desire is that he wants to rise. He will now be looking for one hadith from the sunnah, where the companion was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Oh, messenger of Allah, why did you do like this?" He said, "Hey, you see, one day one companion was asking the prophet why he did like this. You know what he wants to derive from that? That is, by that question of that companion, the question was istifsar. It was istifham. He wants to ask more explanation regarding a ruling of Sharia. But he will take it to mean that that companion is coming in front of the Prophet Muhammad. Do you think one companion will come in front of the Prophet Muhammad? The companions who cannot raise their voice in front of the Prophet. People like Anas bin Malik said, "We are not even bold enough to look at the Prophet in his face." He said, "If you ask Abu Bakr, Omar, Usman, maybe those people can describe his face. But as for us, Akiwa Nabi Loju. Are these people who will come and say, 'No, we don't go green,' in front of the Prophet?" The one who did it, Zuhu wa Isra. What did Omar say? "Dani, ya Rasulallah, ya Rasulallah, azribu nuqahu. Leave me, O Messenger of Allah, let me cut his head." You know what the Prophet did? Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Some spoils of war were brought to him and he divided it. The man came and said, "Fear Allah, ya Rasulallah, fear Allah." The Prophet said, "If I don't fear Allah, who will fear Allah?" Talibul ilm, take these points. Many times when some of the people make dua to their teachers, they make negative dua. Make positive dua to him. And don't tell him something that is ordinarily true, but it will be wrong for you to tell him in that circumstance. One ustad has an issue with his wife. He come and say, "Ustad, fear Allah." It is true that you should fear Allah. But you don't know the matter. You don't know. He's saying, "Fear Allah, fear Allah." It is an insult. So when Zuhu wa Isra was telling the Prophet, "Ittaqi Allah ya Rasulullah," the Prophet wasn't fearing Allah. You are the one to tell him. And it is not ordinary wrong that you tell someone. There is a way to say it. And there is a circumstance to say it. So when you say it in a way and in some circumstances, it will become an insult. What does that mean? Yes. Shubha, in this case, it's not just about you should fear Allah. We are insulting him that he did not fear Allah. That's what it means. So what we are saying is that some people have their desires. They will now bring those desires to confront the Sunnah. Or sometimes they will have that desire. They will now be looking for one hadith or one asar that wants to look like their desire because they want to project that desire. They will now leave the basic rulings, the basic text regarding the subject where he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, if you find something you don't like in your leader, be patient. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tobari kaninu olori reti o te olorun se suru. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you find something you don't like in your leader, be patient. So the man found something in his leader that he does not like. Instead of being patient, he wants to fight the leader. So he will now start looking for. See, one day, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he wanted to give khutbah. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri was telling him that, "Fear Allah, fear Allah." The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Man ra'a min amirihi ma yunkiru falyasmut." So what happened if that one had happened? What happened? It means that circumstance needs to be studied properly. What is it? Why did he say that? One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time one of the leaders was coming to assume the pulpit to deliver the khutbah. One of the leaders at the time, the Amir. You know, they used to dress, wear huge clothes, fine clothes, the muluk, the kings. he was coming, he wanted to mount the minbar. Some companions were in that seat. One of you said, see them, look at our amirs, look at the kind of clothes they are wearing. They are not fearing Allah. The companion who was there hitting. We have been prohibited from speaking against our leaders in the public. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. We have been prohibited from speaking against our leaders. So it means if you find any circumstance where something that looks like that has happened, there's a reason, and that's not the basic rule. May Allah protect all of us. The point we are trying to establish is that one of the ways to protect ourselves from the fitna is that لا نُنَازِعُ النُّصُوصَ بِمَا نُرِيدُ. We will not confront the text of the Quran and the Sunnah with our own desires. وَيَجْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ عَلَىٰ وَفْقِ النُّصُوصِ. So we rather employ what we desire to follow the text. It says, آفَةُ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ. The problem with many of the people in the fitna, when there is fitna, أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُسَلِّمُونَ لِلنُّصُوصِ. That problem is that they do not submit themselves to the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. لَا يُسَلِّمُونَ لِلنُّصُوصِ. They do not submit, subject, follow the text. وَلَا يَرُدُّونَ مُرَادَاتِهِمْ لِلنُّصُوصِ. They will not present their desire to check if it conforms with the nusus. But what they would rather do is that yarduna nusus ila muradatihim. They would rather look for the ahadith to support their own desire. Fa idha jaa ma yukhalifu hawahum. But if they find the other clear-cut text that contradicts and show that their desires are wrong, قَالُوا هَذَا مِنَ الْمُشْتَبِهَاتِ. They are going to say, oh, these are mushtabihat. It's not talking about muzahara. Muzahara and furush, they are different. It's mushtabihat, it's not clear. That hadith does not clearly say that you should not rise against the leader. It says, if you see something your leader you don't like, be patient. You say, hey, you know that hadith, it does not clearly say that we should not rise against him. It's just saying that we should be patient. So if you are patient and he does it again, then you cannot rise against him. So they will say, oh, this mustabihat, it has other meanings. It has ihtimalat. It has possibilities that we can derive. This is what they will say. Fataraku. Ejoti wo maro. Ngi hadith niye. You can't pa hadith niye. So they will abandon the text. Aw awwaluha. Awwalu. Or they will find one explanation. Away. They will twist the text away from where it is. They will twist the text. Say, no, it is not talking about it. You know, they start giving you excuses. فَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And Allah the Exalted had told us that وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ظَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Allah told us, مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا. It does not befit a person who ascribes himself to Iman, whether male or female. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. When Allah has clearly mentioned a matter, the Prophet clearly gave a ruling regarding a matter. أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. They now begin to say, we have one thinking, we have one feeling, we have one that we feel that we, my thinking is that my observation, my conclusion, they start speaking grammar. Oh, ni so you bambe. I feel that, I think that, my opinion, my feeling, my view, my thoughts, bogwe shubhat. Shubhat. They want to employ these things to set the sunnah aside. And Allah says, مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنِ. It is not befitting for someone who ascribes himself to Iman. To sako ugbagbo lododo, baya lokunrin abi lobinrin. إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا. when Allah and His Messenger decide an affair, and يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ, it is not proper for them to now say, oh, we have a thinking, we have a feeling regarding the matter, we have an no, it's not for you. We remember the story of Barira and her husband, Kuf. We know Barira, the freed slave of Aisha radiallahu anha. Barira, she was brought into freedom by Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha. Barira, at the time she was a slave, she was married to her husband. When she became free, you know the husband is now a slave. Do we understand? So she has a choice to remain in the marriage or go out of the marriage. But her husband loved her so much. So she preferred to go out of the marriage because she's now a freeborn. The husband was still a slave. So the husband was crying and following Barira. Barira, don't leave me. She will say, oh, I won't marry you. The husband was following her about in the streets of Medina. So people went to speak to Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that tell your nephew, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let him intervene in the matter of Barira and her husband now. Let him do something about it. So Abbas radiallahu anhu came to speak with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet called Barira alayhi salam. Barira, consider this matter now. Consider the man. Return to the marriage with him. You know what Barira asked him? Radiallahu anha. She said, Messenger of Allah, is this an instruction from you? Because there's a difference between I think you should do this and this is what you should do. So she wants to, is this what you are saying now? Is it an instruction? If it's an instruction from you, I accept. For if not, I don't want to marry this man. Because they know that إِذَا قَدَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا, when Allah and His Messenger give rulings regarding a matter, it is not proper for the Muslim to say, I think, I feel. No. It's not proper. The same case in the story of Fatima bint Qais. She had three proposals. And one of them that's not so commonly mentioned is from Abdurrahman ibn Auf. It was not only Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan and who? Abu Jaham. These are the two most popular ones. She also had the khitbah of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam guided her to Usama ibn Zayd. Usama was black. He's a slave, the son of a slave. Usama was black. He was what? A slave. He was the son of what? A slave. Not just that. Fatima bint Qais was one of the most beautiful girls from amongst Quraysh. So you know what that means? Like saying that one of you now wants to marry the daughter of Al Saud. Afa Lautek. You want to marry the daughter of Malik Salman. You go and perform Umrah after Umrah. You say, ha! Omar Salman Loku. You can see the gap. That was how it was at that time. But maybe you are better than the daughter of Salman, we don't know. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam pointed to Usama ibn Zayd. She said, radiyallahu anha, fakarihtuhu. But I didn't want to marry Usama. Usama came. She was also older than Usama. Usama was less than 17 at that time. He was younger than her. She was Quraysh. Qurashiya, and she was beautiful. She was a woman that any man that time would say, oh, people like Abdurrahman ibn Auf too came. The billionaires came. Let's say Dango take care. In terms of money, otherwise, in terms of fearing Allah, they are not in the same category. Aina sara mina as-suraya. So there are some sisters now, if a brother comes with Range Rover, with Baba Lagbada, and one young brother just came with Azhari cap like this, you say, inshallah, they say, I beg. She will put your call in auto-delete. Call her, the phone will delete it. If people like Abdurrahman ibn Auf were also seeking to marry a woman, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pointing to who? Usama ibn Zayd. So she felt somehow. She said, but when I remember that this is an instruction from the Prophet Muhammad, so I accept it. This is Islam. So that is the meaning of ma kana li mu'minin wa la mu'min. It is not defeating. After we say we believe in Allah, when Allah spoke, when the Prophet spoke, atula anin ta tu fe so leyin tolo ati kanabi ko ba mu alayhi salatu. This is the meaning of this verse. It says wa man ya'ti Allah wa rasulah, anyone who now disobeys Allah and his messenger, faqad dalla dalala mubina. That person is upon clear cut error. وقال سبحانه وتعالى Allah also says in the Quran فلا وربك لا يؤمنون. I swear by your Lord, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا يؤمنون, the people do not believe حتى until and unless يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم, they make you Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام the judge in their disputes, ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now judge, two Muslims have a dispute. After the Prophet judges, the first thing is that we should not find a judge in other than the Prophet alayhi sallam. Okay. After the Prophet now judges, you must not have anything inside your mind remaining. Konun koho kan gbodo seku lokan wa leyin gba tanabi ba ti soro sallallahu wa yusallimu taslim, we are going to submit completely to whatever he said alayhi salatu wasalam. Is this the case where a Muslim now has a text that says do this to the right, and then he comes with his desires and say no, but me, I want to do this? What we are saying, that it's not befitting ordinarily. It is worse when there is fitna. It's not befitting ordinarily. It is worse when there is a fitna. May Allah protect all of us. يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله, he said, فيحتاج العبد أن ينفي عنه شيئين. The individual, the slave, has two things to remove from his mind. الآراء الفاسدة, the slave has a duty to remove evil thoughts from his mind, thoughts that are un-Islamic. We all have a duty to remove evil thoughts from our mind. Wal ahwa'ul fasida, and desires that are contrary to the sunnah. Don't invest your thoughts in the thoughts that contradict the sunnah. Don't invest your desire in issues that contradict the sunnah. Your thinking must not contradict the sunnah. Your desire must not contradict the sunnah. You must not be desiring something that Allah does not like. We have a duty to remove these things from our minds. فَيَعْلَمُ الْحِكْمَةَ وَالْعَدْلَ فِي مَكْتَضَاهُ عِلْمُهُ وَحِكْمَتُهُ. The Muslim should understand أَنَّ الْحِكْمَةَ وَالْعَدْلَ, that deep wisdom and justice is in مَكْتَضَاهُ عِلْمُهُ وَحِكْمَتُهُ, is what in it, in what iqtabahu ilmuhu, what justice and wisdom are only in those things that are in what Allah's knowledge and wisdom have mentioned. What Allah mentions from his knowledge and what he gives us out of his wisdom, That is what contains wisdom and justice. The only thing that is wisdom and justice is what? That from the knowledge of Allah, and that he gives us out of his wisdom. So when he says the woman sit at home, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, don't say, why should the Sharia say that a woman should sit at home? You now want to start thinking, you start thinking, the best thing for the woman is that she should sit at home. She should be a housewife, fully housewife. So don't start thinking. Likewise, the best thing for us in the times of fitna is that we do not rise against constituted authority. This is the best thing for us. Whatever your mind will start thinking, it is wrong for you to think like that, because it will be contradicting the deep wisdom and knowledge by which Allah gave us what he told us to do in the Sharia. So he says, Rahimahullah, فَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّ الْحِكْمَةَ وَالْعَدْلَ فِي مَكْتَضَاهُ عِلْمُهُ يعني علم رب العباد وحكمته لا في مكتضاه علم العبد وحكمته. Justice and wisdom are not in what you think is just and is wise. Actual justice and wisdom, they are in those things that the rulings in the Sharia have placed for you. That is, true justice and wisdom are in the Sharia, not in what you and I think are just and fair. How many times have we had to change our own human laws? Because we think today something is just, and tomorrow we come to understand that it is not just. Why do you want to use this kind of mind, this kind of intellect, to contradict the intellect of Rabbul Alameen, the wisdom of Rabbul Alameen, the knowledge of Rabbul Alameen that he has established for us in the Sharia? Why do you bring this to your own mind, this your intellect, to contradict this kind of knowledge and wisdom that is deep, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has established for us in the Quran and the Sunnah? So actual justice and actual wisdom are in the matters that the Sharia has established. Is this matter clear to us? وَيَكُونُ هَوَاهُ تَبَعًا لِمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. The Muslim should make his desires to follow what Allah has commanded. فَلَا يَكُونُ لَهُ مَا أَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَحِكَمِهِ هَوَانْ يُخَالِفُ وَحُكْمِهِ هَوَانْ يُخَالِفُ ذَلِكُ فَلَا يَكُونُ لَهُ مَا أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. So the Muslim would not have any other law, any other mindset, any other inclination that will contradict what Allah has commanded him. He will not have that. So the point here is that we should not bring our desires to contradict what the text says. The second means of getting out of fitna is what? Don't bring your desire to contradict the text. Don't bring what you want to contradict the text. Don't bring your desires to contradict the text. A man has a trouble with his wife. The woman, they are struggling. Oh, my children. Don't bring your desires to contradict the text. So important. What do I want? What do the text say? I give us an example that just came to mind from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, regarding the story of the woman who was caught red-handed by her husband upon zina. A man came into the house and find a man upon his wife in the time of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Him alone saw it. So he ran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain that this is what he has seen. They called the woman. You know, to establish zina, he needs how many more evidences? He needs three more with himself who will see the act. Not that they will see a man and a woman in a room. So that your case does not become the case like of Abu Bakr during the time of Omar. Not that in his own case, three people saw the act. One person saw the two of them in the room. They were flogged though, for cause. Three people saw the act. One only saw a man and a woman in a room. The other three and the fourth were all flogged, and the other three were flogged for cause, and that included a companion, Abu Bakr. And when Abu Bakr was told, make tawbah, he said, I will not make tawbah because I saw what I saw. It's a serious issue. Some of you say, Umar will flog you again. Say, let him do it. I saw what I said. Today, women go on the street, people accuse them of zina. Something which, if they had done in the past, they will be flogged. How many strokes? It's clearly stated in the Quran 8. Not just that. After that time, we will not be accepting them as truthful people in the community. So this companion who saw he was alone, he ran to the Prophet Muhammad. What point do we want to establish with that point? We must not employ our own desires to contradict the text. The Prophet himself was upon that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he wanted something, but there's a text regarding it from the Quran, he followed the text. So how about you? So this companion came and said he saw a man on his wife. Messenger of Allah, let this one say, hey, al-bayyinatu awid-darb. You have to bring three other evidences, three other people who will see the act as you saw it. Otherwise, we will flog you. We'll flog the man who came to report his wife. 80 strokes. If he does not bring three other persons, we'll flog him. Because that means he has been guilty of what? Qadful muhsanat. He said, wallahi, Allah will reveal something regarding this matter. The Prophet told him, we'll flog you 80 strokes if you don't bring others. So he was insisting, Allah will say something, say. The Prophet said, we will flog you 80. Alayhi salatu. And then Allah revealed those verses in Surah 2, Nur. Surah 2, Nur. So there has to be what they refer to, ulama refer to now as what? Al-li'an. Mutually cursing. The husband will swear, the wife will swear. The husband will start it and say, I saw so-and-so woman, his wife, my wife, do so-and-so. If I didn't say it, I swear by Allah, I saw my wife doing so-and-so. He swear like that the second time. The third one, the fourth one. On the fifth occasion, what will he say? Wal-khamisatu anna la'natallahi alayhi in kana min al-kazibin. On the fifth occasion, he's going to say, if I am lying against my wife, may the curse of Allah be upon me. It's referred to as li'an, mutually cursing. So the husband did that and he was freed. It remained the turn of the wife. The wife came. I swear by Allah, I did not do it. Ibn Abbas said before she started, people went to answer, if you do it, confess. If you are punished, because what it means is that she will be punished for adultery. She will be stoned to death. That you are stoned to death and forgiven for adultery is better for you than for you to go on the day of Qiyamah, you are punished by Allah. Because to be stoned for adultery to death is to be forgiven that sin. Whoever is stoned to death, Allah will forgive him. He will forgive him all his sins. And that person will even have excess forgiveness. Like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. The person will have excess forgiveness that if other people want to take from it, they can even gain from it. Those who will be stoned to death, may Allah protect all of us. So they advise the woman, if you actually did it, confess that you are stoned to death, you'll be forgiven by Allah. It's better for you than to cause Allah's wrath on yourself. You'll be punished in this one, you'll be punished in the hereafter. So in the first cursing, she cursed that. She cursed that. She didn't do it. The second one, she cursed that. She didn't do it. The third one, she cursed that. She didn't do it. The fourth one, she cursed that. She didn't do it. وَالْخَامِسَةُ أَنَّ غَضَبَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. On the fifth occasion, he caused that the anger of Allah should be on her if her husband is saying the truth. But before the fifth one, Ibn Abbas says some of the companions went to her and told her, don't curse. Remember this, they started adjuring her so that she does not curse herself. She now, before she made the fifth curse, she said, I cannot disgrace my family. I cannot bring disgrace to my family. So she now cursed on the fifth occasion. Because she does not want to bring disgrace. That the curse of Allah, the anger of Allah be on her. If the husband is saying the truth. And she knows that the husband is saying the truth. So the companions went to the Prophet Muhammad. They told him what she said. That she does not want to disgrace her family. The Prophet got annoyed. He now said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, go and look at the child that she will deliver. If the child has so-so thing, then it is the son of her husband. If the child has so-so thing, then it is the child of that man who was accused. When she delivered the baby, it was in the similarity of that man who was accused to have done evil with her, meaning that there was that evil, actually. What did the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? لَوْلَا مَا جَرَى بَيْنَنَا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ لَكَانَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهَا شَانِ. If not what Allah had already ruled in His book, myself and her would have done something. That is, I would have dealt with her. Do we understand? The rule has already been established. She had already cursed herself. Even though it became clear that she was lying at the end of the day, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam had already carried the ruling, so there's nothing again. So even though he said that, I would have still dealt with this woman, there is nothing to deal with her again because there is a ruling of Allah. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam in the most strongest of this kind of situation would submit to the ruling of the Quran, how about us? Why should we be the ones who, when situations occur, we have our mindset somewhere, we have the text of the Quran and the Sunnah somewhere, we still think that we want to do some abracadabra? May Allah protect us from this evil. The second thing about fitan is that don't use your desire to contradict the text of the Kitab and the Sunnah. We'll stop here today, inshallah. If we have one or two questions, you can answer them. Now, alhamdulillah, we don't have. I think we. Wa alaykum assalam. If a lady confesses to want to answer the question. Apart from shuhud, apart from witness, apart from witnesses, the other way to establish zina is by confession. Maybe if I discuss it like this, it will answer your question. Apart from witnesses, the other way to establish zina is by confession. And confession was established in the time of the Prophet Muhammad. In about two or three incidents, a man would come to the messenger and say, he made so and so, a woman came and say, did so and so. Bring Allah's ruling on me. So zina can be established by confession. Does that answer your question? Zina can be established by confession. A man can confess he did so. A woman can confess that she did so. So if it is confirmed that he is in his senses, if it is confirmed that that man or woman who is confessing, she or he are in their right senses, they are not drunk, they are not under depression, because depression makes people see the world like another thing, and many of the people in our times are suffering from depression, mental ill health. May Allah protect all of us. So if it is confirmed that the person is not under alcohol also, he's not drunk, he's sane, sound minded, and then he knows what he's saying, he knows the meaning that if he is caught and we're in an Islamic society, he will be stoned to death. He knows the consequence. Yes, he's still saying that. Then zina will be established. But the ulama say a better thing is not to confess that, not to come and say that in the public to the people. A better thing, if a person does evil in the hiding and Allah has concealed him, he should keep himself concealed. Instead of coming out to say he should be stoned to death, no. Ask Allah for forgiveness, he will forgive you. It's better for you than coming out to say you should be stoned to death. The one who will forgive you when you are stoned to death, can he not forgive you if you are not stoned to death? Because he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu ummati mu'afa illa al-mujahiri. The entirety of my ummah will be overlooked their shortcomings, except al-mujahirun, those who commit the sins in the night. Nobody saw them. They come and announce it in the morning. These people will not be forgiving their sins. So it means that a better thing to do is to keep it aside. As Allah has protected you, that was the explanation of mujahirun that the Prophet gave, ko alayhi salatu wasalam, and the hadith is authentic. So if you commit a sin, not just zina or anyone, if one individual commits one sin, deceived by shaitan into sin, may Allah protect all of us, and he realizes that he has done what is bad, don't bring yourself out. If Allah has concealed you, conceal yourself, but return to forgiveness, return to sincere repentance, return to sincere repentance. Don't bring yourself out, return to sincere repentance, then Allah will forgive you. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah forgives all sins, including shirk. If it was shirk he committed somehow, you don't need to come and start announcing to the people. Just adjust yourself. Don't come to the people to say, yesterday I did so thing. Don't do that after Allah had concealed you. Because in the story of those people who came to confess to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one of them, Umar and Abu Bakr and Siddiq, we are telling them, don't disgrace yourself after Allah has concealed you. And they were not blamed for it. If it was wrong for them to advise him like that, revelation would have come to say, hey, don't conceal him, let him come. Umar and Abu Bakr were telling him, radiallahu anhum, don't come and disgrace yourself, Allah has concealed you. He said, no, I want the ruling. So he went to the Prophet. The Prophet too was avoiding it. Meaning that a basic rule is that conceal yourself. When he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked the other way. I saw a lay kind. Don't bring this one. The man came again, O Messenger of Allah, I told you that I did so and so thing. The Prophet turned away again. So it means the basic thing is that once Allah conceals you, conceal yourself. Don't bring yourself out and start announcing. But don't forget, you must establish tawbah for yourself. May Allah forgive all of us and protect all of us. Zina is a very, 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 very deadly thing. It destroys the individual. May Allah protect us. I think it will be sufficient to stop here, inshallah. Bismillah, in the next class, as we have come on to the second one, we'll be taking them tools so that by 10 weeks, we'll end from the book, inshallah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. دكتور تجد وقتا غدا أريد أن أراك.